Welcome again to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Spetslot from the Netherlands. And we're eager again to talk to you about another aspect of family life, about parenting, in order to help you understand how to use a heart-based approach to parenting as you work with your children. So we've talked about a number of ideas on these podcasts. Today, we're going to zero in on a specific one, but I just want to say welcome. We're grateful to be with you today.
Hi, Dr. Scott. It's really a pleasure to be together and to know that at the other side of our podcast, there are many parents who are listening and taking ideas and learning more and more on how to help improve their relationship with their children. And so I'm very grateful for that and also blessed that we can do that together.
You know, in this podcast, I'd like us to zero in on the relationship between a parent and a child. Now, sometimes parents take that for granted that we have a good relationship together, but often the conflicts that exist in family life increase tension and that relationship disintegrates a bit. So I think we have to be pretty intentional about having a close relationship. So I thought in this session, maybe we could talk about how we can increase closeness between a parent and child and give parents some how-tos. I think if we give the how-tos, the practical ideas, parents go away with ideas and it helps them to be more helpful and more intentional about how they work with their kids. So I thought we'd head in that direction to develop more closeness and think of some ideas that can help people do that.
Yeah, very, very good. I love this subject because I think it's very important to share with parents specific ideas, especially because when we get closer to our children and when our children get closer to us, that helps opening their hearts. It helps strengthen our relationship with them. It helps them listen better. It helps them listen do the right thing from their own motivation. So it's very important to have a strong relationship and to work to have a strong relationship. So let's get started and jump directly into the first topic we want to share about today, and that is have fun. I love that because I have a 4-year-old, and so at this age, with young children, having fun is very, very important for them. Everything is about having fun, playing, running. So I'm really in the midst of that at the moment. But I know that also with older children and adolescents, having fun, doing together activities that are bringing laughter and joy, it's very important. Such as sports and but even walks or all sorts of fun activities, or even watching a game together or doing a game together or watching a movie. So having fun with your children and being relaxed in an atmosphere of relaxation and kindness to each other and just openness to each other really breaks all the walls that are out there. And as a young mom, sometimes just sitting on the floor with my son and playing together, that's all he wants, that's all he loves. And he can be playing for the whole day. I unfortunately cannot, but that's something that really makes him happy. And we really build strong relationship like that. He's really, I can see him, how he's enjoying that. So yeah, I think that would be very beneficial for parents to think about.
Yeah, that's good. I think that each of these five things that we're going to suggest to parents are opportunities to emotionally connect with kids. So here's the formula I think we want to encourage parents to do. Emotionally connect with your child and then celebrate it. And when you emotionally connect, you find some kind of common thing, and then you celebrate it by making some kind of a statement. When you make that statement, it indicates this connection and helps a child change what they believe about the relationship. We want kids to believe that we enjoy each other, that we're on the same team, that we're working together. And so it's important not just to have the emotional connection, but also to make a comment about it. So you're right. This first category of having fun is good. Now, each of the five categories start with a letter, and all the letters spell the word heart. So this first one, have fun, starts with H. And it'll be a way for parents to remember the different ways they can emotionally connect with kids. And you're right. This opens the heart of a child. So when we work with families in the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program, we often are working with families whose relationships are strained, and they want to know what are solutions or what are some things I can do to my kids because they're being so disobedient. And so we say, let's start by building relationship. We want to open up the heart, and we open up the heart by emotionally connecting. One of the first ways we do that is to have fun. And yeah, the age of the child, I think, is important. Younger children, sometimes we, you know, we're playing games, doing drama, just kind of engaging with them on the floor. That's great. Older kids, we have to sometimes it's just a fun activity that we do, or sometimes it's just wrestling around, pushing around, just joking around, just having fun in some ways. And then making a statement that says, we sure have fun together, don't we? That kind of a statement just rings true for a child, and it helps really meet this child's heart needs. So I would suggest that one of the ways that we can establish some more closeness is to have fun. It's a good one. You're right.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so important about that statement, because it almost brings that untalked or unspoken truth that our child will cherish in their heart and will meditate upon, you know? Yeah, I do have fun with my parents, and I enjoy that. And I think it's so important to speak that. So yes, I love that, Dr. Scott. Thanks for sharing. Now, let's move into the second one. And that's, so we started with have fun, and then we move into eat together. And eating together, I think, such an important one, because I was recently listening to an online sermon, and the pastor was saying how important it is to eat together. It's as if, you know, as if all of us are bringing something to the table when we eat alone, or when we are everybody scattered in different places of the house. It's a completely different experience with when everybody's at the table and eating together. The food may even taste different, and the it's so important to take that time to connect, to speak. And I know it's difficult. At every age is a bit difficult. I know it's in my case, for example, with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, it can really be challenging to have them to sit all the time and to finish their dinner. But you know, just trying to find ways to have it fun and ask them questions about their day, I think it's very important. I think it's almost important as a ritual to have that every evening we have dinner together. We set the table together if the children are older. We talk about what food we want to cook. Sometimes I get these magazines from our grocery shops, and then we look together through the recipes and we choose what we want to cook. If you have older children, you know, look at that together, maybe cook together. It really brings so much fun also, not only that you are enjoying cooking, but also eating together and, you know, praying together and saying and talking about what happened in the day. It can really be a moment where if you haven't got any more time with your children throughout the day because everybody's so busy, this time can be so powerful, because it really can help you as a family hear about what is happening in each other's life. So I think it's such a valuable time. Dr. Scott, I know you have a big family as well, so probably meals time is very important for you. How was it in your family? How did you do that with your own children?
I remember we have 5 kids, so as they were growing up, it was often a challenge to just try to get food on the table and then get kids eating. I remember one of the first times, we have 2 adopted girls in our home, and one of the first meals we had with 5 kids, we had put out all this food for make your own tacos, you know, and so they were all laid out in the center of the table. And I remember we said amen, and all of a sudden, all the kids were standing up making tacos, were saying, we're not doing this again. It was just chaos. But it was a fun experience for us. And you're right. I like the idea of viewing mealtime as more than just about the food and the function of eating. It's about the social component of mealtime. So sometimes we'll even say to a child, why don't you go take a break before mealtime? Get your heart ready so that you can bring something to the table. And maybe a joke or a story or a highlight or a question that you can ask, so that we're emphasizing the social dimension of mealtime. It means, I think, many times turning off the electronics or parking the electronics at the door, certainly turning off the TV so that we're not distracted by other things. We're sitting around a table, talking to each other, and like you said, sharing about your highlights or your lowlights about your day, or just talking about things that we do. And so eating together is more than just food. It's a social experience and a powerful one. I think sometimes parents ruin the meal time, but it's not so much they ruin it at the stove. They ruin it at the table with too much emphasis on manners and too much emphasis on eat all your food. And all those can be helpful things. I think that sometimes we need to abandon those just for the social experience that draws us together so that we can say, we just enjoy eating together, don't we? That kind of a comment really helps children feel a sense of closeness, I think, with parents. So yeah, this is an important one. Eating together is a good one.
Yeah, I think every culture is different, and in every culture there are different kind of habits or the ways in which parents share dinner with their children. But definitely, I know for example in Europe or in certain parts of Europe, having more disciplined dinner time is very important. Whilst in others, it's much more relaxed. But definitely something to consider. Okay. Perfect. Let's move into our third topic, and that would be, so we started with having fun, eating together, and then we talk about arranging activities. It's our third topic we want to discuss today. And I would like to say how important this is, because I am a planner and I love to think a bit upfront about what I'm doing. It's not always working very easily because things get in the way and sickness comes with, especially now with the fall. But arranging activities to do together, it's such an important thing to consider when you have children, because it's really something that you can think about in advance. What would you like to do together? Whether it's going to a football match, going to a sports activity, or going to the theater, going to the movies with older children, or even going in a park, you know, and putting everything together in a bag that when you have young children, it's really important. And it's also a nice something that you do outside your home. So it's something nice that children can learn to be together as a family with you outside the home. I'm not necessarily referring to holidays, but to activities that you're doing in a week, you know, on a weekly basis or at the end of the week. Things that you're doing to entertain yourselves. And Dr. Scott, I know that at some point we shared in a different podcast about how important it is to help our children to help them and work together with them when they are in public, that we, you know, you how we look at the situations when things can go wrong with their behavior, or how, you know, that their heart sometimes is not in the right place, for especially with young children, for example. So I think, you know, this can sometimes be hard times for parents, but it's so important to still not giving up and still continue to plan activities, even if it's so good for children to learn to be with others, to be outside, to be outdoors, and to continue to grow and to move forward. What would you say about this, Dr. Scott?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that sometimes the activities are things we go out of the house. Sometimes the activities are inside the house too, where we plan to, as you said earlier, cook a meal together, or we somehow go out and rake the leaves, or we might take a walk around the neighborhood. It's the activity that we plan doesn't have to cost money, and it doesn't have to take us away. If you have five kids like I do, sometimes we had to, you know, the activity you do is just with a child by themselves. I remember one time I told each of my kids, I will give you 30 minutes of my time to do whatever you want with it. Because here's what happens. I think as parents, we sometimes plan activities that we want to do, and we invite the kids to join in. But in this case, I said, you can choose the activity. Well, my daughter, Melissa, she chose to play with dolls. Now, so I said, okay, I'll play with dolls with you. So we went into her room, and we did about everything you could with a doll, with the clothes and setting the doll up and all these things. This is the longest 30 minutes of my life, is what I was feeling like, you know. I mean, not really, but it's not my idea of fun was playing with dolls. Usually I like to do things that I like to do. But I knew that this was meaningful for her. And by choosing an activity that she enjoyed, I really connected with her, and she appreciated that a lot. I think that activities are important, even spiritual activities like reading the Bible or reading, memorizing a verse together, or even going to church together. Those are activities, and using them to build relationship can be important. A lot of our life is surrounded around activities, you know, taking kids to soccer, or we're watching one kid play soccer while we're have the other one near us. That can be an activity. So the activities, if handled properly, can be relationship building experiences. If we think about that, then we can use them to enhance the relationship, which of course, again, softens the heart. So yeah, I think activities are an important ingredient. So have fun is the H, eat together is the E, arrange activities is the A in our word heart as we're going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story about the dolls. I know my son loves building Lego, and I'm so bad at it. I'm really so, and I don't know how to help him. Sometimes it's so funny. But yes, obviously we encourage parents to give it a go. Very good idea. All right, so let's move into our T, which is our fourth topic, and that's talk and listen.
Oh, let's go back to remember the good times.
Oh yes, of course, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I moved on too fast. Remember the good times, indeed. Remember the good times. So remember the good times. Now, I love that this one because I have young children, but I also have members of my family with older children, and my family lives around the world. We don't live in one country together, and so it's so nice to even me with my family to remember the good times. And share that with my children and my husband, and also with my children, even if they're small. We love sharing and remembering the good times, and I think it's so important to bring that back and to make that part of our life, to talk about what happened when we were in holidays, or what happened when we cooked that meal together. What did we learn? What did we do something different? We just recently, this weekend, we went to a motocross event here in our neighborhood. We're not fans or anything, but it was something fun for our son to watch, and he just loved it. And every time we remember and talk about it, and he just simply loves it. And it's so nice to see that he takes so much energy out of that, and he thinks, yeah, we did something nice together. And when are we going to do it next time, Mama? So it's so nice to continue to remember. Especially when we have hard times, maybe, or when maybe our children go through hard and difficult times, maybe as teenagers or adolescents, to remember these good times. It helps also to lift them up and to remind them that it won't continue to be hard for a very long time, that things will change, and good times will come back again. I think that will be very valuable. What is your view, Dr. Scott, on this?
I think that when you say to a child, do you remember when their eyes kind of light up? And that's the emotional connection we're looking for. You know, in the Bible, there's a lot of ways that things are remembered. I remember Joshua, he built that stone pillar out of the 12 different tribes stones. And why to do that? So that they could remember. When you go back by this pillar and your children ask you, why's that pillar there? Then you could tell them the story of how we crossed over the Jordan River. I think that having these markers in our lives, these stories, even spiritual monuments in our lives, provides us with an opportunity to give children these landmarks, these, you know, like the historical markers. Remember this. Don't forget this. And And those can be spiritual ones, but they can also just be experiences we had in our lives. The interesting thing to me is that I find that young people often remember their childhood differently than I do as a parent. Mm. Kids sometimes say, when we were a kid, Dad, you did this and this. I go, I did? I don't remember it that way. But I think it gives us, again, opportunities to explore the memories that we have, and all of that contributes to emotional connection. So remembering the good times is a good way to emotionally connect.
So true about remembering things in a different way, because as a parent, you also see things, you have a different lens on things. So that's so, so, so nice. Okay, perfect. All right. Well, now we move into T, which is talk and listen. So we discussed about having fun, H, E, eat together, A, arrange activities, R, remember the good times. And now we're talking about talking and listening. And this is such I think it's an essential one, because many times I hear, especially working with parents of older children, that sometimes it's challenging for parents and children to feel listened, to feel heard. And I think it's so important for us as parents to learn to listen to our children and to know what to say to them, but also for our children to learn to listen and also to know what to respond to us. So it's such an important topic from all kind of perspectives. But definitely, as a parent, it's important to be able to ask questions and to come close to your child and to wait for them to reply and to show kindness and show understanding when they are responding to you. I know sometimes it's hard, especially with younger children, that they are not really very aware of their actions, or you know, they don't know how to respond in a very good way. And sometimes adolescents have a hard time as well. So it's so important for us to lead by example as well as parents, and to ask the right questions and to talk and listen in the right way. I know that the Bible, and Dr. Scott, you need to help me here, because I don't know where in the Bible it says this. You probably do know. it says that we should really pay attention at our tongue. I know the tongue and in the Bible is such an important topic, because it can lighten up a forest. Is that what the Bible says, right?
Yeah, it talks about that in the book of James, how important our tongue is and how we need to use it in a strategic way. Yes,
absolutely. So I think that's, you know, especially when nowadays parents are tired and stressed sometimes from different other parts of their lives, like work and other activities. So it can be hard for parents to think very well before they speak, or, you know, to have the patience to listen. But I just want to encourage parents to pray for that and to stay close to God and to really think about that as something that can influence the relationship and the way that the conversation can go and how it can impact the child. And of course, from the other perspective, that teaching our children to listen. And something we do with our four-year-old is that he always interrupts us when we speak, and we ask him to, every time when he wants to say something, he should put his hand on our shoulder or on our arm, you know, to let us know that he wants to say something to us. Things like that help teach young children also learn that they can speak and they have to wait their turn if they're too enthusiastic. So again, something very important for parents to consider, and for children as well, how you talk and how you listen. What would you say, Dr. Scott?
I think one of the things children need is to learn how to listen. One of the activities we do is we suggest that parents have their children learn how to ask a question and then ask a follow-up question. Because see, what happens is that children tend to ask questions, and then when somebody says something, they talk about themselves then. And if you ask a question and ask the follow-up question, it continues the dialogue for the person. The person can continue to talk. So I think one time I was sitting around the table eating with my son and his children. And Hayden, my grandson, who was 8 years old at the time, he said to me, "Grandpa, what do you like to do when you're not working?" I thought, well, that was very insightful for him to ask that question. I said, well, you know, let me think. I said, I have bird feeders in my backyard, and I like filling them up and watching the birds and so on. And he says to me, what is your favorite bird? And I thought, well, how insightful for an 8-year-old to ask these questions. And my son started laughing. And I said, then I knew that it was part of a joke or something. And he says, no, it's not a joke. He says, we've just been practicing this idea of asking questions and follow-up questions as a way to build relationships. So I appreciate that. Anybody, I think, likes to be listened to. So teaching children how to listen is important. And then, of course, when we listen to kids, that also increases the closeness. So the T, I think, is important. Talking and listening is a valuable part of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah. So what I was going to say is that what's important about asking questions, I love that, it's because sometimes this is what we learn also in our work life, that it's so important not to just finish a conversation immediately. And I was just thinking about something I did this week with my own child, when he's 4, and he said, I asked him something and he said, I don't know. So because he's just 4-year-old, he just sometimes doesn't remember. And it's sometimes, it can be a bit of a challenge when you have young kids, but it's so much fun. It's so fun as they grow up. So absolutely encouraging parents to do that. All right, let's move into our last sixth and last one. Or are we done, Dr. Scott? I think we are done, but we want to talk about celebrating together, right? Yeah.
We got the five letters, H-E-A-R-T.
Yeah, we did.
Celebrating, I think, is good that you're saying. So I think it when you do any of these five things, then we want to make a statement, some kind of a statement that says we and together. If we say we should have fun playing together, or when we work together, we should get a lot done, don't we? Or we have some good memories together. As we use the idea of celebrating it, then it can really open the heart. Now, we don't have to celebrate it immediately. Sometimes parents say, oh, yeah, I should have celebrated. I say, well, you know, you can celebrate it the next day. You can say, you know, yesterday when we were playing and wrestling around, we sure had fun together, didn't we? And that's even more powerful sometimes than doing it right away. So the timing isn't necessarily as important as doing it. So looking for ways to celebrate it really focuses in on solidifying that relational connectedness with a child. These ideas about building relationship are important. I think they soften the heart of a child, and we're really emulating the way God works with us. You know, when God works with us, he starts with a relationship. He invites us to have a close relationship with us, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and he who opens the door, I will come in to him and will eat with him and he with me. This idea of relationship. And we want to encourage that with our children because it sets the foundation for all the other work that we need to do. And it often reduces the tension just by increasing the relationship in a home. You know, we have a booklet at the National Center for Biblical Parenting called How to Start Connecting with the Heart of a Child. It's a 36-page booklet. It's being packaged now as a family, the Heartwork Family Kit that contains the Parenting's Heartwork book, that booklet, an audio download about this idea of connecting. People can find more information about that at biblicalparenting.org. Our goal is to not just have close families for the sake of being close, but we want the family to be close so that it accomplishes its mission. We all have a mission in our lives. And so the mission isn't just about ourselves. It's about being a close family so we can serve other people and bless them. And we want to help parents to be able to do that. So this podcast is in part designed and dedicated to that important idea of building closeness in family life.
Yeah, and if you are interested in hearing more other topics and concepts and ideas on how to help your children, your family, how to create a positive approach to your parenting, please go back and listen to all the other episodes we have recorded. They will give you a lot of insights and a lot of ideas on how to do that. So, and if you want to get in touch with us, you can find Dr. Scott at biblicalparenting.org and myself at parentingisheartwork.org. And we will love to hear from you. So thank you very much for listening. And until next time, God bless.